Church, thanks for joining us today. Welcome to live stream.
Yes, we're so glad you're here with us. There's a Bible verse in 1 Corinthians, and it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things.
Yeah, amen.
And because of the love and the hope that you spread, you made a major difference in the lives of so many people this week.
Yep. You guys have been so generous, and I just want to remind you there are two ways to give. One, through our Christ Church app, and also through our Christ Church Ohio website.
That's right. We want to share with you a few things we were able to accomplish this week for Love Week. We were able to send out hundreds of hygiene kits for families that need it. We were able to send thousands of dollars worth of groceries to kids all over Northeastern Ohio. We were able to help feed our first responders at UH Hospital, Southwest, some police stations, and also the National Guard.
We were also able to feed 70 individuals at a homeless shelter two times this week. We were able to give countless numbers of diapers and formula out to babies and families in need. And our Old Brooklyn campus is working on a food pantry with 8,000 pounds of produce and 250 bags of food. So well done, church.
Yes, you guys are incredible. And we just want to show you a little glimpse of what happened this week.
Yeah.
Good morning, Christ Church. Can you believe it is our fifth week doing live stream together? I promise I'm not counting so much as just missing my friends, and I'm so thankful that we get to be together in this way. If you're joining us on live stream right now, go ahead and hit a little heart. Let us know that you're there, and I'm going to say a prayer to get us started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this incredible space that you've given us to draw nearer to you. I pray, Father, that as we try to find our footing and move forward, that you would incline our hearts towards what is right and towards what is good. I pray that the favor of Jesus Christ would rest upon us in these times, and that you would make us champions for what is good and right in you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember the movie Groundhog's Day, Bill Murray stars as Phil, who is a weatherman for a local news channel, and he shows up in Punxsutawney on Groundhog's Day to do the big interview for when they reveal the groundhog. And it's an interesting movie because in a twist of fate, he finds himself trapped in the same day over and over and over again. And of course, it's Groundhog's Day in February, which is cold and dreary, and he's stuck in the small town with these same people, forced to relive the same day over and over and over again. Now, the first time he wakes up and realizes it's the same day, he's kind of goes along with it. It's weird. The second day, he starts to get frazzled by it. He goes and starts asking questions. By the third day, he's just eating all of the things, like literally all of the things. He eats the donuts and the cakes and the pancakes and the bacon and the sausage and milkshakes. And by the third week, he's resigned to this pattern that he's fallen into, and he starts to get grouchy, and he's kind of lashing out at the people around him, and he decides it's going to be this cold, gray day for the rest of his life that there's no way out. He starts to get more reckless as the movie goes on with his life and with the town and the people around him, but nothing he does makes this day come to an end. He still wakes up every single morning forced to do it again and again. By the end of the month of these same days, he's learned almost everything about all of the people in town, and he started to get more honest with himself. And we find him moving from this guy who's pretty selfish and wrapped up in himself to learning. And he starts being kind to other people and generous towards other people. He learns how to play the piano and make ice sculptures. And he starts trying to save this old homeless man. And he catches a boy who falls from a tree and does the Heimlich for a guy who's choking. And even though he's living the same day over and over again, the days don't change, but he does. Now, I'm not sure what level of Groundhog Day you're living in right now. Many of us feel like we've been living the same day over and over again. For some of us, it feels like these restrictions feel like they'll never end and we're stuck and there's no way out. Some of us are busier than we've ever been in our entire lives, or some of us don't have the same things to keep us busy and we're bored. Some of us are lonely and all by ourselves, and other of us are just so trapped in with the same people that we would take a breath of fresh air. Some of us might be in the eat everything phase, right? The donuts and the cakes and the milkshakes, and some of us might even be in the resign phase. Some might be grouchy or lashing out. Well, some of you, God bless you, are learning new skills and trying new things in this time. I don't know what phase that you're in, but I know that all of us, after week of this, have started dipping into our reserves to get through this time. And if we're honest, those reserves are running pretty low. Like, we've reached the bottom and we are scraping for what's left over. Like, my Mary Poppins bag, my reserve is gone. I did all the crafts, all the games, all the dance parties, all the movie marathons. We had color-coded weekly schedules and we've used them all repeatedly. And now they're gone. That reserve is empty. My Grin and Bear It reserve is running real low and my tolerance for all of the things is running out. I know some of us are running out of patience and running out of the ability to feel like we know what to do, and we feel tapped out. I don't know how many times in these last couple of weeks that you've reached the end of yourself. Maybe you find yourself losing patience with your family and the people around you, or you find yourself in a situation where you've got all this new technology to figure out, or technology for your kids that you're trying to figure out. Maybe you find yourself impatient with the news or disappointed by the things that you see or how things are being handled. Maybe you've become frustrated from loss or impatience with restrictions, or you feel like you're failing, right? Like, there's nothing like being forced to learn new things to feel like you're failing again, or you're not doing enough, or guilty that you feel like you're not doing a good enough job. Maybe you find yourself exhausted by the demands and that you've just reached your limit. Maybe you're realizing that you felt like you had it all together and now our lives are just kind of shattered and we're not sure how to put the pieces together. So in all of these different phases and days and expectations, how do we deal with the things that we have to do in this time? The challenge of everything that's expected of us right now, especially when we feel like we've just reached the end of ourselves, we've reached the limit of our reserves, the limit of our abilities. Because let's be honest, there's no rule book for what we're doing right now, right? Like, there's no manual that we got handed that says, here's how you handle these things. So how do we find the competency, the ability that we need to keep moving forward, to do the next right thing, even in challenging times just like this? Our life isn't a movie that we can just fast forward and move through the hard parts, or rewind and get to the parts that we want to do over again, or pause right at the perfect spot. Right here and now, this is our life and this is our story. This is who we are right now, today. And this very moment that we are living is an incredible teacher. It is an incredible teacher to each and every one of us right where we are. I read this incredible question this week. It says, what does it take to use the life we already have in order to make us wiser rather than more stuck? I want you to think through that question with me. We're going to think our way through this, looking at what Paul says to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. He said, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. There's two really big ideas that I want us to see here that Paul's talking to us just where we are right now today. The first thing is our capacity to get through all of this. It doesn't come from us. It comes from God. And the second thing that we're going to dig into is God isn't willing just to make us competent to get through this time, but he's willing to make us competent to make a difference right where we are today. Now, if you're like me in any way, I like to be in control of things. Some people say controlling, I say capable. I like things to be planned out and to go a certain way. I went on a trip to Europe with my friends some years ago, and I did all the research and all the homework, and I knew where we were going and when we were going, and tickets were purchased and days were mapped out, and we had three different countries that we went to, so we figured out like the subway systems and the trains, and we even figured out how to take a boat through Paris to get to all the places that we want to go. I knew where we were going to stop. I had everything planned out, ordered ahead of time, so we knew what to expect. I did the same thing the first time my family and I went to Disney. Like, I did all the research about what do you bring and where should you go and what are the best things to do and where all of the best places are to visit. And I felt in control of the trip. I knew what to do each step of the way. But here's what I know. Life is really, really good at reminding us we aren't in control of this trip. As much as we like to be in control and have things go a certain way, even the best laid plans can go to waste. It doesn't mean we don't make plans. It doesn't mean we don't make goals, but it means we can relax our grip, that we can remember we are not the ones who are in control. But Paul reminds us we can trust the one who is in control. We can count on him because he is sufficient. He does know what to expect. He does know what to do, and we can count on him. Paul said, let me tell you why I'm confident. Here's what makes me confident. I know I'm not sufficient enough. We never have been, but God always has been. Our ability to do things that are necessary, our ability to confront hard things and the ability to meet the demands of our reality right now, we're able and fit for the job, not because of what we can do, but because of what God can do. Even when it feels like things are falling apart and our well-ordered world isn't as it once was, even when we feel like we've reached our limit, the end of ourselves, we are reminded that our competency, our sufficiency for doing this life well, it's not dependent on what I can do, because we all have access to what God is capable of. We're capable of more because of our resource that we have through Jesus Christ. But listen, this isn't about doing more or trying to be more right or follow more rules or more perfect. It's not about cramming our days more full with things, trying to get it all right. It's not becoming so rigid that we can't bend. Instead, Paul tells us it's allowing the life-giving Spirit of God to be at work in us. We find sufficiency and capability by opening up our hearts to him. And we say, I'm not in control of everything. We say, I'm willing to stop fighting to wrestle control of everything and give that away. It's saying, God, I can't do this on my own. Because the truth is, we never could. It's just desperately pleading with God and saying, I need you. Friends, there is no better time in our life than right now to invite God into our hearts to do the life-changing work that he wants to do in each of us. Yes, in life, things fall apart. Yes, things don't always go as planned, but they also come back together again. Yes, there is good and there is bad and there is space for joy and misery and there's messiness and there's goodness, all crammed into the same life. But sufficiency means that we have enough to meet the needs of a situation. And I love this because it's not extra, it's not abundance, it's not overflowing, it is just enough. Right now, we need just enough to meet the demands of this day, this time, this moment, and this crisis. And Paul reminds us that we find that in relationship to Jesus Christ. Our capacity grows as we grow with God. The more access I'm giving God to be at work in me, the more I grow with him. We cannot grow in this apart from him. We can't grow in this on our own. We don't have enough, but in Jesus Christ, we do. Our incredible God has more than enough to help us through. On my own, I'm terrible at things like patience, and I can't get enough peace. I'm not gentle enough or kind enough or helpful enough. But Christ at work in me is capable of all of these things. And when we give our hearts to him, when we allow him to take control of who we are, he's at work growing and cultivating these values in me. Which means I have to be intentional about every single day. Now is not the time to make the excuse for why we don't have to do the things. Right now is exactly the time I need room to grow with God. I need time reading my Bible and digging in deeper to who God is and what he's been doing throughout all time. Find a great study Bible and dig in and see what God has to say. YouVersion is an incredible resource. It's a free app you can download right to your phone or your app, and they have great devotions. They have great studies you can do where you can lean in and learn and grow with God. You can find a new idea or study a new thought or dig in deep to some of those hard questions that we faced. I love the statistic. If you spend 1 hour a day for 5 years on anything, you can become an expert. You can grow by giving it time. Tomorrow only gets better because we are willing to do the work to grow today. And friends, the more time we spend in the presence of Jesus Christ, the more capable we feel. Because even when I reach the end of myself, which happens to the best of us, I have access to the one who has no end. Even when I am exhausted, when I feel depleted, he is not. Because the truth is, I have a limit on what I can do. My capacity is limited. My family has a limit. Our communities have a limit. Our very life itself, our existence has a limit. But God is limitless. We're never going to max out God. We're not going to wear him out. We don't tire God out by coming to him again and again with our requests and our hearts and our needs. He's never going to say, too much, it's just too much, I can't handle it. That's not who God is. We are not too much for God. We aren't a bother to him. We aren't a hassle to him. If anything, we are reminded by Jesus Christ that God values us. He cares for our hearts and he cares for our souls. And friends, he's got room enough for all of us. He's got enough capacity to help. There's no end to the mercy and patience and love that God has for us. It is unlimited. Whatever vision we had for our lives, what we think we could do or thought we could do, or the vision we had for the lives of our kids, or the hopes and dreams that we have for our businesses, our communities, our church, it is tiny compared to God's vision for what could be. God's vision for this world, what it could be, who you and I could become, it's astonishing, it's overwhelming, and it's so much bigger than we could ever dare to dream or hope. It's our invitation to dream wild. There's no limit on the visions and the dreams we can create for the future. They're a drop in the bucket compared to what God's vision might be. Tomorrow is a new day. It starts again and again and again, and we are reminded anything can happen and anything can be. I read a wonderful article this week. There was a husband and a wife who sat down for dinner together. She is a doctor for Ohio Health, and he's an engineer at Battelle. She was worried about the low supply of N95 masks and that she wasn't going to have one when the coronavirus surge really hit. And so he asked, why don't you just clean them up and reuse them? And she's like, well, that can't be done. That's not how it works, right? You wear them once, you throw them away. And he remembered a study that was done at Battelle showing masks could be decontaminated and reused in emergency. So they got to work, they started making phone calls, they drew up schematics, they sketched out what a unit might look like to do something like this. 5 days later, Battelle received the first shipment of contaminated masks. 15 days later, the FDA gave the approval to start running these machines in different places around the country. Right now, they're running all day and can process up to 80,000 masks per day. Together, they came up, this husband and wife, with this incredible plan that's making a huge difference. Because of the crisis, they created something new to help. And not only are they getting through it, they're making a difference. We've stood by and watched companies who are diverting from their regular business to making things like ventilators and face masks and other essential equipment. I've been blown away as I've seen our church and every one of you doing incredible things to share the love of Jesus Christ in our community and in our hospitals. I've seen you sacrifice and give generously. I've seen you feed the hungry and give to kids in need, and I've seen you go above and beyond in this moment and in this time. But we can't stop now because there's more to do. There's more grace to share and more hope to spread and more light to shine. Friends, we're able not just to face the challenges of today, we are able to stand up and make a difference in this all. No, this isn't business as usual. No, this isn't our day-to-day routine, but who said it would be? Reaching our limit isn't the end. It's an opportunity to open up a new door and lean in and see what might be. Sister, I know you're tired. I know you've been doing 5 jobs that were never meant to be done all at the same time, and you feel like you're failing regularly. Brother, I know you're tied up in knots trying to figure out how you're going to provide for your family and protect them. Friends, I know your patience is thin and your tolerance has run its course, but can I please remind you, we were made to do tough things. We are more than enough for this time and this period because Christ is more than enough. I want to share this one beautiful thing I read this week. It's a quote from Sonia Renee Taylor. She said, "We will not go back to normal. Normal never was. Our pre-corona existence was not normal other than we normalized greed, inequity, exhaustion, depletion, extraction, disconnection, confusion, rage, hoarding, hate, and lack. We should not long to return, my friends. We are being given the opportunity to stitch a new garment, one that fits all of humanity and nature. I know we can't stay here. Things are not as they should be, but neither can we go back. Christ calls us to move forward into a new future. We all have been given an opportunity right now to begin to create something new, a new heart, a new life, a new future, a new hope. And we have the opportunity to stitch this life together with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, self-control. It's not our capacity that we are leaning on today. It is the capacity of Jesus Christ. Friends, he is strong, he is good, and he will see us through. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please encourage our hearts. I pray that you would strengthen us, Father, to stand up, that we would feel through you we are enough to face these days. I pray, Father, that you would pour out a vision of what might be into our hearts. I pray that you would use our hearts. I pray that you would use our context. I pray that you would use the skills you've given us to cultivate something new, that we might create a new vision for the future, Father, filled with hope and grace and love. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We can't wait to see you next week at the same place and same time.
Have a great day, church.